Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, July the 10th, 1992. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Norman Parrish of Guatemala, Central America, is the teacher of the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Norman Parrish of Guatemala, Central America, is teaching on the root of bitterness.
Job 21, verse 25. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul. What will bitterness do to you? It will kill you. Another one dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and listen to this, and never eateth with pleasure. When you're bitter, you don't even enjoy your food. You might gorge yourself, but you don't enjoy it. And you don't digest it properly. And your body will not assimilate the food. Even your food will harm you if you're in bitterness. You can be on a natural diet. You can live on fruits and vegetables. And yet if there's bitterness, you'll die probably younger than somebody that's a meat eater. I believe that we should have the right diet. But right diet by itself will not guarantee you a long, healthy life. It's your inner strength. Health comes from inside. It comes from your spirit, through the working of the Spirit of God in your spirit. And from the spirit, the Spirit of God will create health and well-being in your mind and in your body. Now let's turn to that passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Before we go there, let's look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, because here's a man that became a bitter. His name was Simon the Magician. You remember that he made a profession of faith? He pretended to be saved. He converted. He baptized. He became a member of the church at Samaria. But when Peter came down, and Peter had the gift of discerning of spirits, what happened? Peter denounced this man, exposed this man. And notice what Peter said to this man here in Acts chapter 8. In verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive, this is discernment, I discern that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now notice the order. Because you're in the gall of bitterness, you are also in the bond of iniquity. What will bitterness do to you? You'll lose your personal freedom. You'll be bound and afflicted by evil spirits. Now, why was Simon bitter? Because he lost his trade. He had been top honcho in Samaria till Philip came along. I mean, he had deceived the whole population. Everybody from the youngest to the oldest thought he was the great power of God. They didn't know any better. But when Philip came with the true power of God, this man was driven out of his profitable business. Amen? Yeah, he lost his clientele. He had to close down his witchcraft center. So he joined the church. He jumped on the bandwagon, and because he was hoping he could recoup, he wasn't sincere, because Peter looked right into him and he said, you are in the gall. And what is gall? What is gall in the word? Yeah, gall is extremely bitter. Just one drop of gall is enough to embitter and poison somebody. The gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So what will bitterness do to you? It will enslave you. It will cause you to become bound and afflicted by evil spirits. Amen. So now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and we'll look at verse 15. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Three things we find here. The first thing is that if you permit bitterness to take root in your heart, you will fail of the grace of God. That means you will fall from grace. You will backslide. And I found many pissed Christians or ex-Christians in America and other parts of the world that backslid because they permitted bitterness to enter their life. Amen? The loss of friends, the loss of jobs, the loss of health, the loss of prestige, the loss of anything is God's bitterness. And if you let bitterness take over, you will fail of the grace of God. You will backslide. It will get you, it will drive you away from God. It will build a barrier between you and God. You won't be able to get through to God because of your bitterness. Secondly, it says here, That root of bitterness can trouble you. And the word in another translation is hinder. Can hinder what? Can hinder your health. It can hinder your family relationships. It can hinder everything. It can trouble. There's a lot of people that are troubled. Where? In the upper story. There are mentally troubled because of bitterness. It can cause emotional, physical, and mental disease. And then the third thing you find here is it says, and thereby many be defiled. Did you know that bitterness is contagious? Bitter parents create bitter children. And my advice to pastors everywhere I go is never talk about the problems of the church, of the ministry around your children. Many pastors get home after Sunday morning service and then they spew all over the children. They vomit out all the bitterness. They talk about the church, they talk about the elders, they talk about the members, and the children are there
all year.
And they don't forget that easy. And when they get to their teenage year, they rebel. They rebel. I remember several years ago, 15 years ago, we released a group of churches into the hands of the national leaders. The ministry we had carried on for 20, 25 years in Guatemala, we just suddenly decided to turn it over to the nationals. And we were left without a church in Guatemala for a matter of a year. We did this because nationalism had crept in and we saw that a split was coming. And we decided we weren't going to be a part of it. I mean, I said, let's lose everything, but let's protect God's work. And so we turned lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, we turned over all the churches we had established, property and all. I turned over a stack of deeds that even in Guatemala were worth maybe $1 million or more, of titles for properties. We just turned it over lock, stock, and barrel and walked away from it because we wanted to protect the work of God. Well, when my twins were about 4 or 5 years old, let me see, they were born in 65. This must have been they were born in 75. Let me see, I'm getting all mixed up. They were born in 75. They're 17 now. And this must have been about the year 81, 82. So they were about 6 years old or 7 years old. I don't remember exactly. But I was driving my car down the street with the twins in the back seat. And I saw a pastor standing in the corner. So I waved them and he said, stop, stop. So he ran over and opened the door and jumped in. And when we were driving along, he started talking about those national leaders, you know, about how mean they had been and how they had taken over the work. And I said, no, they didn't take over the work. I said, we turned it over to them. Well, one of my twins called Peter was listening. I mean, he was all ears. And I was telling this to him because I knew that this was making an impression, those young minds. Well, I got rid of the man as fast as I could. I said, well, you know, I've got married and goodbye, and I shoved him out the door, and he went his way, and I went my way. 2 years later, I don't know what, for what reason, somebody mentioned the name of one of the national leaders, and Peter began to tear into him. He said, that guy's a scoundrel. He stole my dad's churches. He took over the work. He was repeating what he had heard 2 years ago. See, kids are very impressionable. And if you go home from church and you talk against your pastor and against the song leader and against this and that, your kids are all ears and they're going to hear everything and they're going to use that against you. And someday they're going to stand square on their feet and they're saying, I'm not going back to that church. You can't drag me there. You can beat me to a pulp and I still won't go. Because they're a bunch of hypocrites. And how do they know they're hypocrites? Because you told them they were hypocrites. I mean, bitterness is contagious. It's a contagious disease. And if you want kids that are free from bitterness, you better take all the measures you have to not transmit it to your children. You know, Dario, my son, is a pastor today, and a successful pastor. He was about 18 or 19 years of age when he began to find out about some problems of the work. And he never found them out from me. He found out about them outside. Because Betty and I made a vow when we were married that we weren't going to discuss our own personal problems or the problems of the ministry before our children. And if I have to talk to Betty, we'll either do one of two things. We'll either get in the car and go for a drive, and when we're out there, we'll talk about these things and then come back smiling, or we'll wait till the kids go to bed and we'll lock ourselves in the bedroom and talk these things in a subdued voice. So our kids are not prejudiced against the work. And Dario is serving the Lord, and Peter and Paul are talking about it. Amen? They love to go to church. They're 17 years of age. And lately, the Lord's been working in their lives. You know, they're adopted, and we don't know anything about their backgrounds. And through the years, I'd prayed over them, and nothing had really happened visibly. But this year, about the 1st of January, God began to move in our church in Guatemala City in a new and fresh way. The Spirit of God came down, and suddenly one Sunday morning, hell broke loose in church. And people began to manifest all over the place. And the first to manifest were Peter and Paul. They started weeping, and then they started screaming. So we ran, and we grabbed them, and they began to kick and thrash, and we had to carry them out bodily out of the church into one of the side rooms and pray for them. And for the next 3 weeks, they were going through deliverance. And that's changed their lives. Amen? But don't you ever, ever contaminate your children. You know, if you have problems with your husband, don't discuss them with your children, or vice versa. Don't try to find comfort in your children, or don't try to get them to back you, to side with you against your husband, or against your pastor, or against somebody. Because you're just going to hurt yourself. In the long run, it'll all come back on you. Amen? Boy, you're quiet tonight. I believe that the Lord's really stepping on some toes tonight. Okay, now let's look at the remedy for bitterness. We're going to have to rush through this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. You know the remedy for bitterness is the cross. How many knew that? The cross means death. Dying to self. Dying to self. And this is the last thing we want to do. We don't want to die out. We don't want to crucify our old man. We want to assert ourselves. We want to establish our rights. We want to do our own thing. We want to impose our will on others. That's the biggest problem Christians today have. It's not demons. Our biggest battle is not against demons. It's against what? Self. Against our ego. Our egotism. Amen? And you don't hear much teaching about that. You hear a lot about deliverance, in our circles at least, but you don't hear much about dying to self. We don't like that. Okay, we think we can just shoo our problems away. Cast them out. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Because sometimes they're part of you and you can't cast yourself out. Too bad. Wouldn't it be beautiful if we could get rid of our old man, of our self-life? It's not that easy. How many have read in Exodus chapter 15 the story of... I'm just going to read this story quickly. When the Israelites had crossed the sea, the Red Sea, and they were beginning their journey through the wilderness, they came to the place where the waters were bitter. What was the name of that place? Marah. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried on the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. What is the cross? Showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters, the waters were made. So what is the answer to bitterness? The cross. When the tree is cast into the waters, the waters are made sweet. Okay, let's read Ephesians 4 now quickly. Ephesians 4 mentions bitterness in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What is the answer to bitterness? Forgiveness. That's the only way you're going to counteract bitterness, and you're going to rid yourself of any bitterness in your heart is by forgiveness. Forgiving yourselves one to another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We have to forgive as God forgives. And it's not easy, because when God forgives, He forgets. And when God forgets, He restores. And many times we say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget this. And I'm not going to let you do it again. And I'm going to protect myself the next time. I'll forgive, but I won't have anything to do with you the rest of your life. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness entails forgetting and also restoring relationships. Amen? Now here it says that it's through forgiveness that we are set free. Bitterness, you know, can cause a lot of damage in our lives, because notice what it'll do to you. It's talking here about all the works of the flesh. And in verse 27 it says, neither give place to the devil. So what does bitterness do to us? Bitterness and anger and lying and all these sins of the flesh that are mentioned here will give place to the devil. That means that Satan will latch onto that bitterness, will take a handle on us, and until we forgive, we won't be released out of that bondage. Isn't that true? Matthew 5 states that, and I'm just rushing through this. It says in the Bible says in verse 25 of Matthew 5, it says, agree with thine adversary quickly, agree with the person you've had some problems with, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary, that person that has hurt you or you've hurt him, the adversary, deliver thee to the judge. And who is the judge of all flesh? God. And the judge deliver you to the officer. And who's the officer? Satan. And thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out of thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. What does that mean? Until you make amends. Until you make things right. Until you enter into agreement with your adversary. Until you are reconciled. And you won't be reconciled with that person until you learn to forgive and forget what that person has done to you or you have done to that person. Amen? So forgiveness is indispensable, because listen to this. When you permit bitterness to take root in your life, you're opening yourself up to demon activity. That's what it says there in Ephesians chapter 4. Neither give place to the devil. And the second thing that bitterness will do to you is found in verse 30 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. What will bitterness do to you? He'll grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will be grieved and quenched in your life. You lose your fervency in spirit. Even the anointing, even the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit will begin to slowly disappear out of your life. And you'll come to a place where you'll say, my God, where are you? It's total desolation. The conscious presence of God will be removed out of your life. It doesn't mean that God will give up on you. It doesn't mean that God will forsake you. But you will be in such a state of bitterness that you won't feel God's presence. You'll be numbed so that you're no longer able to feel God's presence. And the Spirit of God will be quenched. And the Spirit of God will be grieved. And the Spirit of God will cease to operate freely in your life. And the gifts of the Spirit will come to an end. Amen? Now, if you don't want to give place to the devil, and if you don't want to grieve the Spirit through bitterness, then you're going to have to forgive. And I'm sure there are people here tonight that would confess, would ought to confess, that this is your condition. Amen? You've let bitterness take over. It's tended your whole life. You feel miserable. You feel desolate. You go to church and you don't enjoy yourself. Everybody seems to be, you know, having a good time in the Lord. They're singing and clapping and shouting and dancing and jumping around. And you're there like a block of ice. You don't feel a thing. Why? Because you're full of bitterness. And bitterness can only be overcome through what? And remember what I said before. When God forgives, He also forgets. And I'm just going to read a few verses about that. Because, brethren, many times we say we forgive, but we don't forget. I prayed for a woman in Puerto Rico last week that she's crippled up. She's got rheumatoid arthritis. And she's all gnarled up. She's racked with pain. She can hardly use her hands. And she's on some kind of medical treatment. I don't know if it's steroids or hormones or whatever it might be. And when I began to talk to her, she began to dig up things of the past. Her parents have been dead 30 years, and she cannot forget and forgive the abuse she was subjected to by her father. Verbal, physical abuse. He must have been a monster. And when he would come home drunk, he'd tear into the wife and to the children. I mean, she was bruised and battered. And now she's a woman about 70 years of age, and her father's been dead 30 years, and she still relives, listen to that, every day she's reliving her past. She said, there's not a day that goes by that I don't remember what that man did to me. Why? Because she hasn't really forgiven. And if she hasn't forgiven, she hasn't forgotten. Here in Jeremiah 31, 34, it talks about forgiveness and forgetfulness. Listen to what it says in the latter part of verse 34. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Amen? Write these verses down. Because you have to forgive. Forgetting the things that lay behind, I reach out to the things that lie ahead of me. I press towards the mark, towards the prize. See, if you don't forgive, that's going to slow you down your spiritual growth. You'll never come into maturity. You'll never come into sonship as long as you're full of bitterness. Bitterness will stunt your spiritual growth and advancement. Now let's go to the book of Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth the iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. What does God do when he forgives? He forgets. He casts our sins into the very depths of the sea. I mean, to remember them no more. Hebrews 10:17. I've got a number of verses here, but I'm just going to mention these three. Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So when God forgives, he also forgets. And then he restores relationships. And that's the kind of forgiveness we have to extend towards those that have maligned us, that have deceived us, that have rejected us, that have abused us, either verbally, physically, or sexually. To those that have taken advantage of us, to those that have bemeaned us, to those that stomped on us and drug us through the mire, what do we have to do? Every thought, every mention of their name, we have to say, I forgive, and I forgive, and I forgive. It's a lifelong process. Amen? The devil will always bring back those memories. And every time he tries to, we have to say, I forgive. As Christ forgave us. The Bible says that God will be merciful to them that are merciful. And when we're not merciful, we are the opposite. And that means we are cruel towards others. See, when we deny people forgiveness, we're hurting them and we're hurting ourselves, because we're binding them up and we're binding ourselves up. Amen? And I'm sure you've heard a lot of teaching on forgiveness. But for God's sake, For your own sake, what are you supposed to do? Forgive whether you feel like it or not. Because forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. Sooner or later, you'll feel like forgiving. But you have to decide to do it whether you like it or not, whether you feel like doing it or not. Because if that bitterness continues to work in your life, the bitterness can lead to resentment, and resentment can lead to hatred. And hatred can lead to enmity. And before long, brother and sister, you'll be a miserable creature wrapped up in your own problems, withdrawn from society. You'll become a hermit. You'll become a recluse. You won't want to be around anybody. And you long to love and be loved. But that bitterness is just killing you inch by inch. Why was Hezekiah dying so young? In spite of all the advantages he had, his great successes in the religious field, military field, economical field, why was he dying? Bitter. As I say, I've searched the scripture and I don't find the reason why he was so bitter. Must have been some personal problems, close to home. with his parents, with his children, with his wife. Something was working inside him. At 39 years of age, he was dying of what I believe was a malignancy. Don't let this happen to you. Amen? Now, we come to a meeting like this, a deliverance meeting, and we go through the motions, and we say, I forget. And I've been to many meetings where they have you list the people you have problems with, and they have you call their names out. And you say, I forgive so-and-so, and I forgive so-and-so. But within 24 hours, you're back at it. Huh? You really didn't forgive. You forgave under the pressure of the moment. You know, the best way to forgive is determine tonight that as soon as you can, you're going to contact the people that you that have hurt you by phone, by letter, or by personal visit. And you don't go to accuse them of anything. No. You go to ask forgiveness. Because you've been as guilty as they are. Did you know that? By harboring all that bitterness and resentment, you have sinned against God and you sinned against the love of God. Amen? Did you understand that?
Yes.
Perhaps you are more to blame than they are. Because they perhaps did what they did and they forgot it. And they're just living, you know, a tranquil life. Your spouse remarried and he's happily married and he has children and he's just living, you know, high. And you're there biting your nails and swallowing your bile and just living in utter, you know, misery. Why? Because you won't forgive. You need to ask forgiveness, not accuse. Ask for forgiveness because you have not loved those people and forgiven those people as God has commanded you to. See, it's not optional. It's a Christian duty to forgive. Did you hear that?
Yes.
God's not leaving it up to us whether we want to or not. He says forgive. And if we don't forgive, we'll be turned over to the tormentors. Huh. And they'll drive us insane. And they'll drive us into an early grave if we don't forgive. So if you're still full of bitterness, let the Spirit of the Lord show you who are the people you are bitter with, and you should contact them as soon as possible. Begin to restore relationships. They might reject you, but you do your part. And let the Spirit of God do the rest. Amen? It's not enough in a deliverance meeting to say, I forgive so-and-so, and just go on acting like nothing had happened. No. You've got to rebuild those relationships. And that takes a lot of humility. To go to someone and say, you know, brother, I'm coming to ask for forgiveness. You know what happens? It's happened to me. The person say, you know, I ought to be asking you for forgiveness. Because I was the one that degraded you or bemeaned you. See, my forgiveness will cause them to ask what? For forgiveness. Amen? How many are going to do that? Come on, raise your hand. Come on now. Or are you going to hold on to those ugly feelings? There's not a person in this building tonight that doesn't need to ask for forgiveness. That doesn't need to restore relationship. That doesn't need to rid themselves of that bitterness and that resentment. There's not a person here tonight that doesn't have something somewhere that is keeping them from coming into the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Amen? So go and do it. Amen? Go and do it. And that will deliver your soul. That will deliver your soul more than anything else. In Puerto Rico, I said there's various means or by which we can come in deliverance. Casting out demons is maybe the first and foremost. But we can come into deliverance through repentance. How many believe that?
Amen.
We can come into deliverance through obedience.
Yes.
We can come into deliverance through praise.
Yes.
We can come into deliverance through forgiveness. There's a variety of means that God has given that we can deliver ourselves. Now, if we're not going to use those other means, like obedience and repentance and praise and forgiveness, etc., etc., then we're going to have to come to a meeting like this and get those demons cast out of us. And it would be so much easier if we would avail ourselves of these other. Then we wouldn't be chronic bellyachers, going from deliverance meeting to deliverance meeting and seeking for help and never getting it. I've known people here in the States that I've seen at Hegwisch, I've seen at Lake Hamilton, I've seen at the Steve Bell's, I've seen different places in this country, and they always got the same problems. They are going through the same deliverance over and over and over and over and over again. They're chronic cases, and you wonder how long. I believe it's because they're not stringent with themselves. I believe it's because they haven't taken the strong measures they must take in order to come into full deliverance. Amen? You believe that? Well, tonight you learned one of the things you're going to have to do, and that's forgive and be forgiven. See, we need to forgive, be forgiven of God, be forgiven of others, and above everything else, we must learn to forgive ourselves of all our foolishness. Amen? Learn to forgive ourselves. You know, we haven't been perfect. We've made our mistakes. But we're just as human as anybody else. And we have to forgive ourselves, because if we don't forgive ourselves, it's going to be mighty hard to forgive others. See, the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love anybody else. And if you don't forgive yourself, you're not going to be able to forgive anybody else. So start where you are. Begin to forgive yourself of all those foolish mistakes you've made. And then begin to ask for forgiveness. And you'll find comfort and release. Amen? You'll come into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Amen? How many believe that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Beg your pardon? Well, let's sing a chorus and then have a prayer. And then in the prayer, we're going to release ourselves of that bitterness. Amen? And release ourselves of that resentment. And we're going to make decisions. And we're going to vow that we're not going to let this thing control us. We're going to uproot the root. We're going to pull it out. Drive it out of our lives through the power of the Spirit of God. Why don't you raise your hands and repeat this prayer. Father, I thank you tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin, even the sin of bitterness. And resentment, and animosity, and hatred towards others. I thank you, Lord, because Christ died on Calvary to make my release and my freedom possible. And now in the name of Jesus, I avail myself of these benefits. I appropriate them and apply them to my own life. Lord, I ask you for strength and courage and wisdom and grace to go to those that have harmed me or those that I have harmed to ask for forgiveness. Yes, Father, I want to follow your example. I want to follow the example of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, tonight, I want to come into a new dimension of love and service for you. Take away the hindrances. Take away the barriers. Father, I renounce this root of bitterness. I curse it and expel it from my life. By the Holy Spirit, I rid myself of all bitterness and all strife and all resentment towards my parents, towards my neighbors, towards my employers, towards my children, towards my pastors, and towards all those people, near and far, that have harmed me in a real or imaginary fashion. I forgive them as I have been forgiven. I extend mercy as I have experienced mercy through the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to follow through, that I will not stop until I have made things right with you and with those that I have harmed or have harmed me. Father, help me to be courageous, that I will not let pride or arrogance stand in the way, that I will humble myself
so that I will be exalted in due time. I thank you for this word. I thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit through the word. I thank you for opening my eyes to some of the causes of my physical, emotional, moral, or spiritual illness. And now I avail myself of the healing power of Jesus Christ. Yes, to heal the wounds of the past, all the traumas that I suffered as a child, as a youth, and as an adult. I bless you and thank you for deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen and amen. You're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Want some personal ministry? Just you and Jesus in the privacy of your own home? Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.